It's almost at the back of the Bible. 1 John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. So if you're back there, that's where you can go. Right close to the back of the Bible. I'm going to use three verses there to talk about this message that your life does matter to God. Sometimes people go through things in life that they wonder why they're here. Why am I still here? I remember lots of times when my grandpa would get the newspaper and he'd look over the obituaries and he'd just shake his head. He lived to be 106 and he kept saying to me, "Why am I still here?" I said, "I don't know, Pappy. I don't know. I can't answer that." He always asked me, "Why am I still here?" His friends, can you imagine your friends all dead? At 106, how many friends you think you got? Well, his friends were all dead. How would you feel? You're alone. You're in a generation that you don't fit. You don't fit in this generation. And that's how he felt. I know June sometimes asked me that question. June, bless her heart, she's been with us a long time. June's friends are getting scarce, aren't they, June? Her friends are getting scarce. Pappy's friends were all but gone. And he just kept asking me. He was persistent. And finally, I just one day got a little irritated. I said, "Grandpa, you're hard of hearing, and he's been calling you, and you've not heard him." Boy, he looked at me like, "Maybe you got something there." Oh, I miss him. I miss him a lot. Father in heaven, help me with this message today. Help us get what you want us to get. Help us to receive what you want us to receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At low times in our lives, we might be tempted to believe that we don't really matter to God. I don't know who this message is for. Maybe it's for every one of us. You ever had a low spot in your life? Hardship, a difficulty, a time of suffering that we experience? It might seem like the Lord doesn't care. Couldn't have been a better song to pick today, Scotty. That was appropriate for this message. It's wonderful how the Holy Spirit works. We might be tempted to think that God doesn't care, but he does. More than you'll ever know, he cares. Some of the greatest saints in Christian history have endured unimaginable suffering without doubting God's love for them. Although the Lord has not promised us an easy life, and even in the middle of our trials, we can know with certainty that our lives really do matter to him, young and old alike. Your life does matter, and you are important to him. You're very important to him. God loves you. To matter means to be of importance to someone. And that's how God feels about us. He knows each of us intimately, including our sins and failures and shortcomings and weaknesses. He knows all about that, but he still loves us and values us. That's why it meant so much to me. Because my wife knows my shortcomings and weaknesses and failures. She's seen me at the worst times that anybody could see me. And yet she said, "Honey, I still enjoy your messages." Even in the pain and suffering that God sometimes allows in our lives, he is still caring for us. His promises have not failed. Another good song. Standing on the promises. Better than sitting on the premises, isn't it? Standing on the promises. You can stand on them. You can count on them. They're unchangeable. They're unchangeable, much like the weather that's changeable and everything in our society and culture recently, all the changes. He still cares for us. His promises have not failed. God has said that he will never leave or forsake us, and he won't. Hebrews chapter 13. I'd just like to read that for you. Verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. When John the Apostle wrote this epistle of 1 John, he was an old man, probably somewhere between 80 and 90 years of age. His letter was addressed to believers. And in these first three verses of chapter 3, he encouraged them regarding God's love that was displayed in their salvation. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. You see, salvation begins with this realization that our separation from God is because of our sins. And knowing who Jesus is and what he has done on the cross, we trust in him to save us, to forgive us of our sins, and to reconcile us to God. And once we are truly saved, we are forever changed and can never be like the person we were before Christ, because we are now united with him for all eternity. The guarantee of this assurance is the Holy Spirit, who comes to live within us. And as God's children, we are sensitive now to sin, and we desire to read his word and to live an obedient and godly lifestyle. And when we commit sin, we can come back to the Lord for cleansing. Doesn't mean that when you become saved, you'll never sin again. That's not what it's about. But when you do, you can come back for cleansing. If we continue in it, he will discipline us as a loving heavenly father would. If you continue in sin, you continue doing a lifestyle that he's not happy with, he'll continue to discipline you as any earthly father would. But an earthly father doesn't stop loving his children, even though his children are doing things that he's not happy with. We ever have any fathers here that their children have done things they weren't happy with? Did you stop loving them? No, you didn't. Were you happy with what they were doing? No, you're not. But you still love them. You still love them. Our Heavenly Father loves us. As many times as we make wrong decisions and choices, he still loves you. He still loves you. You matter to him. You're important to him. You are important to him. He will discipline us as a loving Heavenly Father. And although God allows trials in our lives for a variety of reasons, sometimes he uses them to turn us back to him in repentance. It drives us back to him in repentance. I want to look at the evidences now in the time remaining, the evidence of God's care for us. There's lots of times that we may feel that we don't matter to anyone in the world. But as God's children, we matter deeply to him. And John gives us five evidences that demonstrates his care for us. There's five that I want to show you here in these three verses. There are five. The first one is in verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us. It is a display of his love that is seen in all that he's done for us. And there are four areas that we can see this love that the Father has bestowed on us. We see it in salvation when God reaches down into our lives with his word, and he opens our minds and our hearts to understand the gospel. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sinful condition and our need for forgiveness, knowing that Jesus was the only one who could save us. We trusted in him for salvation and for the forgiveness of our sins. Second thing we see in salvation is sanctification. The Lord has set us apart for himself so we can live for him. His Spirit now sits on the throne of our hearts, guiding our lives, giving understanding of his word, empowering us to obey God, and transforming us into the image of his son. We need his help to do that. We need to let him do that in our lives so that God can see Jesus in us, so others can see God and Jesus working in us. Another area that we see is in his provision. God has promised to provide for all the needs of his children according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Salvation certainly would have been enough, but it doesn't stop there. God also commits himself to supply all of our needs because he cares for us. He didn't say greeds, he said needs. So if there's something you still want and you didn't get yet, maybe that is a greed and not a need. Do you think about that? Maybe it's a greed. When there's some things that don't show up yet and I'm still looking for them, I say, Lord, I guess it was a greed instead of a need. He cares for us. And you need to know that his resources are inexhaustible. They're inexhaustible. His checkbook has a balance like you've never seen. They're inexhaustible. Our blessings in Christ are abundant. And then another thing we see in salvation is the Holy Spirit. Upon our salvation, the Lord sent his Holy Spirit to indwell us. Without him, there's another song we did, we would be powerless to live the Christian life. It is the Holy Spirit who enables us to become the person that God created us to be. And so the second thing is now, not maybe or someday, now we are the children of God. Verse 2 of 1 John chapter 3. Any of us that are parents, we understand the special love that we have for our children. And this is only a shadow of that wondrous and great love and care that God has for us. He has showered us with spiritual blessings and promises, and nothing can ever separate us from him. Thirdly, it has not appeared as yet what we will be. What we see now in our world and in our human condition is only temporary. It's just temporary. If we look at our society, we could certainly become discouraged very easily. Many do not know God, nor do they understand us because they have ignored or rejected him. The busyness and riches and pleasures of the world threaten to draw our attention away from the Lord and to distract us from spending time reading his word or in prayer. But the scriptures is what we need to live as God desires. His commands do not deprive us of anything, but they give us what our Heavenly Father knows is best when we obey them. They're rules, they're laws that he has enacted. He has given them so we can get along with people, get along with one another. It's interesting. I can remember I did some painting quite a few years back for a lawyer. He took me to a couple offices in his main office. And when I looked in there, I was glad I didn't have to paint that because it was walls and walls of books, law books. He said, Brother Roger, look at this. This is all books on the law. I said, yes, and you know what's interesting? God did it with just 10 commandments, just 10. 10 commandments, that's it. And he looked at me and he said, you're right. Just 10 commandments. Fourthly, we know that when he appears, we will be like him. Verse 2. When Christ returns, we'll be raised to be like him. And in that greatest chapter on resurrection that Paul wrote, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. God not only provides everything we need for life, but even greater provisions await us in the future when we'll be resurrected with glorious bodies. No more aches, no more pains. Former things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Although we do not know what heaven will be like, we certainly have the promise that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we will be with him forever. And then lastly, and everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Our lives matter. Because God desires to do the very best for us. Young people, you're not certain about the future. When I was in that position, I never thought I'd get to this age. It didn't go fast enough for me. When I was younger, I just thought I had a lot of time left. How about you? Well, here you are. Your hair color's similar to mine. That's how quick life is. Life is really just like a vapor. It's just like a vapor. It goes so quick. Young people, put God first in your life. Seek him first. Put him first. He'll give you the best mate you ever had. You go out on your own and you try to find her, whew, bottle of luck. But you put God first. Put him first. Because he knows exactly the kind of woman or kind of man that you need. He knows how you were raised. He knows your expectations. He knows everything about you. And he loves you. And he wants you to be happy. And he'll give you the mate for life. I feed birds out back of my house. Do you know there's some birds that they mate for life? The doves and the cardinals, they mate for life. And God, if he cares that much for the birds, how much more does he care for you? How much more does he care for you? He loves you. He really does. God desires the best for us. That we would live pure, holy lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. Knowing our glorious future should motivate us to obey God's word and to be led by his Spirit. I've reached the end of my message today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you feel that you don't matter to God? What evidence supports this feeling? I know that our feelings come and go, but God's word is sure and it's steadfast. And when God's word says, I love you, it's a promise that you can count on. I love you and I care for you. You've heard the truths of the scripture today to prove his love for you. So knowing that you matter to God should motivate each and every one of you to live for him rather than live for yourself. You'd say, Pastor, I believe this message was for me today. Would you pray for me? You want to slip your hand up? I'll pray with you. Anyone? There's a hand. There's another hand. Wow. Another one. Another one. Another one. Wow. Wow. This message spoke to my heart, too. It really did. I'm going to ask you to stand, and I want to pray with you that raised your hands. Heavenly Father, Lord, you've seen this message, and Father, I'm just thankful for the way in which that it spoke to me. And now it has spoke to these who've raised their hands. I pray, Lord, that they may sense and feel your presence in their life. I pray for them that they will allow you to work in their lives. Lord, I just pray they'll just give you the permission to do whatever they need that needs done in their life. If there's housework that needs to be done in their body, in their house, and I pray, Lord, do it. Remove things that shouldn't be there. Take things out of our lives that shouldn't be there. And for Lord, that we want to be pure in your sight. We want to be pure as you are. So Father, these hands that were raised, I pray, Lord, as they give you permission to work in their life, I pray, Lord, that you'll do just that. Work in their lives, not only in just their lives, but all of our lives here. Continue to work in our lives. Work for the young and the old alike. Lord, I know you know what's best for them. So may they look to you and let you work in their life and let that best happen in their life. Because I know when it does, they'll be happy and they'll be joyful. And you'll give them a wonderful life. Thank you for the opportunity to come and gather as we did today. I'm just so thankful and grateful. I've missed it. I really have missed it. And I really appreciate. I'm glad to be here today. Thank you for each one. Give us a wonderful week and a safe trip to our homes. In Jesus' name we pray, everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.